Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review for Thursday, August 10th, 2017. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined, School Leaders Hope for Funding. Lawmakers to convene next week to try for compromise. By Valerie Wells, Herald and Review. Decatur. School district leaders in Decatur are exploring options in case state lawmakers can't reach an agreement on education funding before the district's money runs out in November. Superintendent Paul Fregau and Beth Nolan, vice president of the school board, said that they hope it won't come to that. Leaders in the Illinois General Assembly announced Wednesday that the Senate would convene on Sunday to take up the issue, and the House would follow with a session next Wednesday. There's a lot of excitement about school starting, but there's a little bit of a tinge on the start of school because everybody's kind of nervous about what's going to come, Fregau said. How long can we stay open? I haven't heard of any school that's not opening, but there are several that in September, they're 1 month in and they have to close. The district could cut bus routes and programs if the impasse in Springfield continued long enough, Fregau said, but he said those conversations are well in the future. Decatur's reserve should hold out until mid-November, he said. District leaders would then consider other options, such as borrowing money against future tax revenue, which Fregau described as akin to taking out a credit card to pay another credit card. With borrowing money, there might not be many people willing to loan, with so many schools hitting the market, he said. It's a future that we don't really know what that's going to look like. Fregau has advocated for the passage of Senate Bill 1, the legislation that both chambers of the General Assembly passed in May. Governor Bruce Rauner issued an amendatory veto of the legislation on August 1st, the day after it was sent to him. Rauner's changes removed help for Chicago Public Schools' pensions, along with money the district formerly received in the form of a block grant, and other changes. 3/5 of lawmakers in both chambers would need to vote to either approve or override Rauner's veto. A new plan would also face a 3/5 threshold. If neither chamber has the votes, the legislation would die. Without funding legislation, districts won't get paid. Public schools are set to receive $350 million under the state budget passed in July, but it requires money to be distributed through an evidence-based funding formula, like the one lawmakers approved with passage of SB 1. The funding model would steer money to schools based on local property wealth and distinct student population needs. It would ensure that none of the state's 850 school districts gets less money than it did this year. In a statement Wednesday, Senate President John Cullerton said lawmakers would pass a funding system that improves education in the state's public systems one way or another. The Chicago Democrat said he remained optimistic about a path to compromise. This is a priority Senate Democrats have been working on for the better part of 4 years, he said. No school has reported that it'll be unable to open on time, according to the Illinois State Board of Education. However, many say they'll only be able to last a few months. If Decatur must turn to borrowing, interest rates are likely to be punishing, Nolan said. As a financial advisor at Raymond James, she said she knows that several factors will drive that interest rate up. One is that Illinois as a whole has a poor credit rating. Another is the education bonds have high interest rates, and districts across the state would be trying to borrow money at the same time. It's like a high-risk credit card, so not only are we borrowing money to kick the can down the road, we're borrowing at a rate that's going to be really costly. If finances should get really tight, some of the options Nolan has thought about proposing include closing schools on Fridays and having four-day weeks or doing away with sports programs. The problem there is the contracts with employee unions, which would require renegotiations to change work hours. Cutting sports, Fregau added, would only save a negligible amount of money. If cuts have to be made, he said, he wants to start as far away from the classroom as possible, which could mean changes such as having fewer bus routes. If the worst should happen, and schools should have to close, Fregeaux said, he doesn't know how that would affect teachers' contracts. He said he hoped he wouldn't have to find out. The Associated Press contributed to this story. Need grows for affordable housing. Waiting list long for Section 8. Many below poverty line. By Claire Hettinger, Herald and Review. Decatur. The Decatur Housing Authority recently met a major goal by filling nearly all of its units, but the full occupancy could mean that more people need housing assistance, Executive Director Jim Alpe said. Thousands more Decatur residents qualify for help than the agency has funding to serve, he said. Hundreds vie for places on waiting lists that open only a few times a year. Jerry Pells, director of the nonprofit Northeast Community Fund, also said he sees an increased need for affordable housing in Decatur. The Housing Authority certainly does a good job of who they are able to serve in those situations. But the need is greater than resources that they have, said Pells, whose agency provides food, clothing, and furniture vouchers. We have to work together and utilize our resources to help the unfortunate. There is still a large group that are below the poverty line that we aren't assisting. U.S. Census figures also show a growing need for affordable housing, Alpe said. In 2000, 1 in 6 Decatur residents lived in poverty. By 2015, the number was 1 in 4. That means 19,000 Decatur residents are eligible for Housing Authority programs, even if they don't participate. The Housing Authority currently serves 4,000 people, or 1,700 families, Alpe said. Certainly, that is significant and a help, but it shows the gap there, Alpe said. When we think about the future, that saddens me. The Housing Authority manages 478 public housing units, all but 3 of which are full, he said. It also funds 1,096 vouchers for the Housing Choice Voucher Program, commonly known as Section 8. Many prefer Section 8 because it allows them to receive a voucher and choose any apartment that meets the program requirements. Demand for this type of assistance is so high that the agency caps the waiting list at 300 people. Alpe said the Housing Authority looks for opportunities to expand programs and increase the number of units to serve the tremendous number of people in our community who could benefit. As long as there is a waiting list, if we are full, then we are interested in finding ways to expand the stock, the availability of housing, Alpe said. So far this year, the Housing Authority has spent about $490,000 a month on housing vouchers. The agency has $5.9 million to spend for the year. It's a difficult proposition right now, just because of all these programs rely on having some kind of public funding source, Alpe said. President Donald Trump's budget for fiscal year 2018 calls for cutting about $7 billion from the $48 billion budget for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. That includes cuts to homeless assistance grants and a reduction of nearly $1 billion to Section 8, which helps about 2.2 million low-income families afford housing nationwide. Funding cuts would make it even more difficult to serve the people who need help, Alpe said. He said the local agency has maintained a reserve that can accommodate short-term funding losses, but would need to make changes in the event of longer-term cuts. If we have reduced revenue and have to make adjustments, it generally will result in us not being able to provide quite as high level of service, he said. It has not come to that yet. One example of the agency's efforts to increase affordable housing is the 8 new homes it built on West Macon Street last year, with a $2 million grant from Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan's office. The money came from a settlement, Madigan won, after suing big banks for defrauding the public in the 2008 mortgage crisis. With the settlement money, her office funding projects like Decatur's to provide more housing for low to moderate income families. Construction was completed on the houses in January, according to documents obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request. The Housing Authority started taking applications for the homes in June, after the Herald and Review inquired about the continued vacancy. Rochelle Irons, Director of Neighborhood Services for the City of Decatur, worked on finding the best neighborhood for the project on West Macon Street. She said the homes turned out nice and are a good addition to an up-and-coming neighborhood with many benefits. Irons said she hasn't seen an increased need for affordable housing in Decatur, where the cost of living is lower than some other cities and there is quality housing stock to choose from. Instead, she said, the issue is that some residents don't make enough money to support themselves. On June 1st, roughly 600 people applied in person to be included in a lottery for the 300 slots on Decatur's Section 8 waiting list. The application period lasted for one day only. The lottery process controls the length of the list so that the applicants and information remains current, and people are ready to move when a unit becomes available, Alpe said. Once a voucher is available, people have 90 days to find an apartment that meets program requirements. We try to prevent having a list so long it would take years or many months, Alpe said. I won't say we haven't had people that have been on there for more than a year, but we keep the list short so that it stays current. Other housing authorities manage the process differently and may have people on lists for years, Alpe said. The lottery seems to be the fastest and the fairest that we've found, he said. It will take approximately 6 months to house and process the people on the current waiting list, maybe longer. In the meantime, Alpe said, they might move, find places to live, or decide they're no longer interested. Some also may be found ineligible for the program. Then, the Housing Authority will open the waiting list and start again. The Associated Press contributed to this story. Back to school. Clock is ticking on physicals. Health Clinic This Weekend Can Help Parents Beat the Rush, by Justin Kahn, Herald and Review. Decatur. With Decatur Public Schools beginning Wednesday, August 16th, Todd Getz knew if his 5-year-old grandson was going to start kindergarten, he'd have to get a physical. On Tuesday, Getz sat in an exam room at Crossing Healthcare with his grandson, Dimitri Jennings, while Dr. Tricia Skirba shined a light and looked closely into the right ear of Dimitri. "What do you think I'm going to see in there?" Skirba asked Dimitri. Then she shined a light in his right ear. "Oh, my goodness," Skirba said, pulling away quickly. Dimitri's eyes widened as he looked up at her. "It has worms," Skirba said. She paused, then laughed. Dimitri sighed. So did Getz. Dimitri's legal guardian, Getz was glad to be crossing off another step toward Dimitri beginning school. "We're just trying to do everything we have to do to get him ready for it," Getz said. "He's a healthy boy, so this doesn't bother him." Any student at Decatur Public Schools required to have a physical or immunizations entering the school year must have them completed by Friday, September 15th, or they'll no longer be allowed to attend school, according to DPS Health Services Coordinator Angie Wetzel. "We're encouraging parents to have everything ready by the first day of school," Wetzel said. "But on September 15th, they need to have everything taken care of, or their child won't be able to come to school. What Crossing doesn't want is a repeat of 2 years ago. On the October 2015 day that the school district no longer allowed students to attend without having updated immunizations and physicals, police had to be called to Crossing to contain the traffic created by the rush. The clinic had to shut down to accommodate all but the physicals. Crossing has made efforts to be more prepared, such as offering walk-in clinics, but FASIC said Crossing was anticipating another late push. We watch our numbers, and it's typical, Fasig said. There's the first group, about one-third, who get it done early. You have another third who do it around the start of school. Then you have another third who come on the kick-out day. For those who have waited until the last minute to have their child's physical or immunizations, this weekend is a good chance to take care of that. The Jumpstart Back-to-School Clinic, which provides free school physicals, dental exams, and other screenings, will be held from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, August 12th, at two locations. First Christian Church, 3350 North MacArthur Road, and Crossing Healthcare, 320 Central Avenue. This is the seventh year for the Jumpstart Clinic, which recruits 350 volunteers, including 18 medical providers, and served 400 students last year. Some people at the church wanted to solve the problem of students not being able to stay in school because they hadn't filled the medical exam requirement, said Amanda Elvin, First Christian Church Community Missions Associate and coordinator of Jumpstart. While Jumpstart and Crossing offer physicals for free, vaccinations cost depending on each individual's medical insurance. For children covered by Medicaid, the shots are free. Both Crossing and the Health Department advise bringing in insurance cards and information. Andrick said if a child has immunizations in Illinois, they'll be available to the school and health care workers at the Illinois Department of Public Health website. But for any child who has had care out of state, Crossing Clinical Director Linda Fasig said it's a good idea to track down any medical records, get copies, and bring them to the appointment. The child's previous school will likely have those records. Crossing Chief Medical Officer Dana Ray said Crossing doctors don't treat school physicals lightly. We're not proponents of the quick 5-minute physical, Ray said. This isn't necessarily a cut and dry look in their ears, look in their mouth, listen to their heart and lungs. You're getting a detailed physical exam here. We don't skimp. You're going to get your hemoglobin checked. You're going to get your lead screened. You're going to get all your vaccines. And we're going to address anything we find that's wrong. We're trying to make sure we can catch any medical issues and emotional issues. Andrick said those types of exams take time. Another reason parents should act now for their children's physicals. When we're trying to do 200 physicals in 2 days, our physicians are human beings, Andrick said. The thing that is sad about this is a lot of the kids who are getting their physicals at the last minute are kids whose lives are in transition. They're moving, being shuffled between guardians. Those are the children getting their health care managed last, and they're the ones who need the most attention. That's why we want as many people to come in early as we can. We want to make sure every kid gets a solid look over. School physicals. Who needs one? At Decatur Public Schools, all preschool, early childhood education, kindergarten, 6th grade, and 9th grade students must have a physical exam by September 15th or within the last calendar year. Kindergartners must also have vision and dental exams. 2nd and 6th graders must also have dental exams. Those participating in athletics must have sports physical. Where can I get a physical or immunizations? Jumpstart Back-to-School Clinic provides free school physicals, dental exams, and other screenings from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, August 12th, at two locations, First Christian Church, 3350 North MacArthur Road, and Crossing Healthcare, 320 Central Avenue. Immunizations will be available at Crossing, but not First Christian Church. No appointment is necessary. Students will be served on a first-come, first-served basis. A parent or legal guardian must be present for children to receive services. Crossing Healthcare also offers free physicals. Call 217-877-8255. 1-800-922-9117 to register and make an appointment. Students can also receive immunizations at the walk-in clinic at the Macon County Health Department, 1221 East Condit Street, on the following occasions: 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. on Saturday, August 12th, 8:30 to 11:30 a.m., and 1 to 3:30 p.m. on Monday, August 14th, 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Ameren has eyes in the sky. Drones used to help companies scout assets, inspect damage. By Jalen Cook, Herald and Review. Decatur. With more than 40,000 square miles to cover, Ameren, Illinois is seizing on increasingly popular drone technology that allows it to take to the skies and view the world from above. The company demonstrated the capabilities of one of its small, propeller-powered machines during a display Wednesday, showcasing its ability to take high-quality images in a variety of situations. Since the company first became interested in the unmanned aerial devices last year, they have become crucial to its mission to deliver power to its coverage map of 43,700 square miles, said Ron Pate, Ameren Illinois' Senior Vice President of Operations and Technical Services. "We started using them to help with our efficiency during storm restoration," Pate said. "Now, we're using them even more because a drone can give us a dominant view of an area. In addition to enhancing its storm and emergency response efforts, Ameren also uses drones to inspect the infrastructure of electric and natural gas facilities, as well as survey the terrain of a potential location for new infrastructure. The devices also help keep company employees safe by evaluating potentially dangerous situations and spotting hard-to-reach locations when out in the field," said Riley Adams, Manager of Electrical Initiatives for Ameren. Ameren has 36 employees that have received the training and certification required by the Federal Aviation Administration to operate drones. At least for now, there remain some limitations to the commercial operation of drones imposed by the FAA. Those include restrictions on flying the devices beyond the operator's line of sight and restrictions on nighttime use. The FAA does not provide state-level information on how many commercial operations are using drones, a spokeswoman for the agency said. Supervisor of Electrical Operations Kyle Maxwell said Ameren's drone pilots must first pass a 2-day course offered by Southern Illinois University Carbondale before completing their training through a program offered by the company. "There's a lot of people out there that don't know how to operate a drone," Maxwell said. "There's much more to just unboxing them and getting them set up." Pate hopes to continue expanding Ameren's drone usage as the technology keeps improving over time, aiming to have at least one licensed drone operator at all of the company's operating centers in the near future. He also wants Ameren to invest in drones outfitted with infrared capabilities to help in low visibility situations. Since standard drones cost $3,000 each, Pate said it's not feasible to purchase the equipment at this time. However, that could change when less costly options become available. "With drones, we're only just getting started," he said. The Associated Press contributed to this story. This week at heraldreview.com/calendar. Thursday, Frog and Toad Show, 6 to 7 p.m., Rock Springs Conservation Area, $2. Register in advance online. Friday, A Shower of Stardust, Annual Perseid Meteor Shower, 10 p.m., Weldon Springs State Park, Clinton. Take blanket, bug spray, and sweater. Saturday, Second Saturday Book Sale, 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., Decatur Public Library, second floor book sale room. Peanuts Walk Set Saturday, Annual event raises funds for children with Down syndrome, by Claire Hettinger, Herald and Review, Decatur. a 5K walk and run on Saturday, aims to fill a need for local children born with Down syndrome and their families. The 6th annual Macon County Strides for Down Syndrome Peanuts Walk event is planned to raise awareness and money for individuals living with Down syndrome. Melinda Dariak, coordinator and founder of the event, started the walk with her husband to raise awareness after her son Xavier was born with Down syndrome. His nickname is Peanut, so they named the event Peanuts Walk. The Decatur community doesn't have anything that recognizes the kids and the children, she said. There is just nothing here for our children. One focus of the walk is to educate Macon County about Down syndrome, a genetic condition in which an individual has a partial or full extra copy of chromosome 21. Parents have told Dariak they appreciate that the walk recognizing their children and celebrating them, she said. The event is geared toward the children with prizes, music, superheroes, and Elmo, and lunch. The event has more than 30 sponsors and also will have raffles for gift baskets, gift certificates, and a silent auction. As part of the event, each child with Down syndrome also receives a free surprise gift. One year, it was a computer tablet. Another year, it was cash. One family used the money to buy hearing aids for their child, which they couldn't afford without the extra help, Dariak said. About 30 individuals with Down syndrome will attend the event, as well as their friends and family. In the past, as many as 300 people have participated. Dariak encourages everyone to take part, she said, even if they can't walk or run. Another positive of the walk is families with similar experiences can meet each other and share stories. The mothers are so sweet, Dariak said. It is unbelievably nice to have someone to talk to who's going through similar things like you are going to. It's an emotional event, she said. She cries every year. I can't help it. And other people do too, she said. You just feel completed at the end of the day, Dariak said. The children are so excited, and that's all it takes to see the happiness on their face that you can help these families out. Briefs. Decatur. Vacant home burglarized. The items stolen from a vacant Decatur home under renovation included pretty much everything and the kitchen sink, according to police. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police said the property in the 500 block of West Division Street was missing the kitchen sink, the bathroom sink, its stove, and its water heater, for a total value of more than $1,700. It's not clear when all the items were stolen, but a 42-year-old Decatur man was booked on a preliminary charge of burglary Tuesday for stealing the water heater. A neighbor had seen him and another man carrying the heater out and loading it into a trailer, police said. The suspect said he was helping a friend and didn't know he was stealing the water heater. Decatur, garage fire under investigation. The Decatur Fire Department said it responded to a garage fire Wednesday evening. Multiple crews were dispatched to a home on Galloway Park Drive about 7 p.m. An investigation of the scene followed once the fire was put out. No further information was available. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Herald and Review for Thursday, August 10th, 2017. Please stay tuned.